Hey guys, Tom Laird, voice of advice from a call center geek, CEO at Expedia. Hey, the podcast is brought to you by Expedia Interaction Marketing. We are a 600-seat call center outsourcer. I would love to talk to any of you looking to outsource any of your customer support or your sales functions, looking for political calling or just some extra overflow during the holiday season. If you are looking for any type of USA outsourcing support, hit me up. You guys know my LinkedIn. I'd love to talk.
This is Advice from a Call Center Geek, a weekly podcast with a focus on all things call center. We'll cover it all from call center operations, hiring, culture, technology, and education. We're here to give you actionable items to improve the quality of yours and your customers' experience. This is an evolving industry with creative minds and ambitious people like this guy. Not only is his passion call center operations, but he's our host. He's the CEO of Expedia Interaction Marketing Group and the call center geek himself, Tom Laird.
All right, we're good. We're good. So I'm like the last talk here, basically. This reminds me, I was at Interactions, which is the CXone Nice User Conference. This was 2 years right before COVID. And I had the last talk on the last day, right before Jay Leno spoke. I'm like, no one's coming to this thing. They're going to the bar. They're going to have a drink. And I just remember they put me in a room. It was called Canary 3, the bird that goes and dies in the cave. So they had really high hopes for me. So, guys, my name is Tom Laird. I want to make this rapid fire kind of high energy. I struggled with this presentation because I wanted to add so much value to you guys. And there's so many different use cases, sizes. I'm by far probably the smallest BPO in here. So I think the good thing about that is that you can kind of use me maybe as like a test study because we have to use technology to keep up with bigger names, larger logos. And so hopefully there's something here that you guys can find some value in because I kind of just went rogue and went on my own thing. Prothful, my friend, I got nothing going on up here. I don't have the deck's not on here.
No, just press.
Oh, probably the. Oh, it's on the. Oh, that's it?
Yes.
Oh, gotcha. All right. So I got to look at the thing. Okay. Gotcha. Sorry. My fault. So just quickly on me, my name is Tom Laird. I'm the CEO of Expedia Interaction Marketing. We're about a 600, 700 BPO. We're all here in the States. We also have Expedia Digital, which I'm going to talk about here, which is kind of what we've been talking about today. And then we have our brand new company called AutoQA that's badass. Excited about it, and I want to talk to you guys about it too because it's things that you can do in your contact center. And again, if you take one thing from this, please, I have a podcast. It's called Advice from a Call Center Geek. We have like 210 episodes. Please check it out. I think you guys will find some value in it. So what I want to do today is we are a huge Nice customer. Been with Nice since being a startup in 2011. Gone through the inContact to the Nice inContact to the Nice CXone to the Nice, like that whole iteration. And now at Calling Contact Center Expo, I did a video with Prothful talking about Chrome OS, which I knew nothing about. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is actually pretty cool. So we have gone down the road and started a full implementation in our BPO, going client by client with Chrome OS. I want to talk to you guys a little bit about that. What is good? Just some little things to just look out for. Nothing was bad. I think Google probably yell at me, arrest me if I say anything bad. So, I want to talk about some new BPO areas and then anything else that I thought of at the end. But basically, how can we use some of the technology to make more money, right, that you guys have right now today and kind of how we're doing that. And I think how maybe some of you can do it with even bigger budgets at a better scale. So again, real quickly, you guys saw the CXone stuff. We're pretty much experts on the platform. Started with 4 reps as a startup. I won't even get into my previous life. Because we got too much to talk about here, but basically have every tool that they have, right? So now I don't have the cool stuff that you just saw. I call it analytics for the people. So I have a lot of tools that they have from workforce management to analytics that I want to talk a little bit about today and whether you have Five9, Genesys, whatever, how you can increase some ROI with that stuff as well that we have done. But the focus here, and again, I know Andy just spoke, so I'm going to just talk quickly through this. The main thing for us of why we moved to Chrome OS, number one, was the security aspect. The Windows stuff scared me to death. Having all of these third-party type security things and ways to remote into systems having dedicated really IT staff just focused on all of this. Then we go work from home, and it's just it became a pretty big headache. But the cost savings are just are crazy, and I'm going to show you some real world cost savings that we found with it too. So just quickly, he just did a full 25-minute presentation on the security aspects. I think you guys can see that from a PCI standpoint, it's been absolutely amazing. You know, again, knowing where your agent is where your agent is at all times, right? If they're supposed to be at home, but they're at Starbucks, like you can know right now with all of that, all that kind of security aspect, and also all that new technology. So again, we kind of talked a little bit about this already, so I'll blow through that. The call center benefits, no more repurposing of machines, which was huge for us, right? Every single time a new client came, we wanted to have an agent move. We'd have to wipe that machine clean, reset it up, you know, work through all of that, have really dedicated IT resources to that. That's all done. It's all gone. Now we just have one person kind of sitting, making sure that new machine has what it needs to have on it. Everything can be done remotely. So if we have a new client for the same agent, we can kind of just wipe that system and then and get set up with our new client. And again, as you guys just talked to me, or I just talked about too, I loved having no agent can lie to me anymore about their internet being out. So that got through our Slack really quick. And then this is what I think is most important for you guys. So as I said earlier, we use Sophos for our virus protection, tens of thousands of dollars, 3-year contracts, locked into things, super expensive. It's totally gone. We use LogMeIn to remote into all of our computers, right? Again, 3-year subscriptions, per seat licensing, it's totally gone. The other thing that I don't think people have talked about enough here is we were using two-year-old repurposed Lenovos. That's kind of was our house machine, right? I don't know, $400, $399, $500 in that world. So again, we are now getting brand new Chromebooks, or I shouldn't say Google Box, but Chromeboxes and monitors. And every BPO has 4,000 monitors they have in the back room. So we're just really repurposing those and utilizing that aspect. So not only am I getting a cheaper piece of equipment, I'm getting it brand new, and I'm not having to do any type of repurposing, reimaging, and that has saved us a ton of money as well. The other thing, though, is I didn't want to go out and buy 800 new machines, right, and new Chromebooks. So, you know, from that aspect, we use the Chrome OS Flex, and we basically put it on all of our machines as we're going. Now, we're going client by client, right? So we started with our small little 10-seaters and just moved it on up to more enterprise-type customers. We're about halfway through with all of our customers, you know, working through, you know, VDI, if there's any VPN access, any of that type of security access, making sure every client is happy, making sure that the integrations are good. I mean, I know Profwa has talked about the one thing, there's a really tight integration with Chrome OS, and at least for me on the NICE side, that's expanding very quickly to other CCaaS players. And I probably shouldn't talk to that because you guys know more about that than me. But even looking at now the full integration into even screen recording and things like that, that was kind of the last piece of the pie to have full screen recording as well. So this bad boy is pretty much set up to where all of our computers are now moving to Chrome OS, and then anything that we buy new will be either a Chromebook, or I really like the Chromeboxes as well. And I think, you know, having those monitors with it. That's the only beef I kind of have, right, is the Chromebooks are small, the monitors are small, right? Even when you have a 23-inch Lenovo, most, as you guys know, you're going to need another monitor even with that. So you got to think that through. That's not a really big deal, especially with the monitors and how cheap they are. But that's kind of how we plugged it in. Implementation on Windows machine, we've been able to integrate with any type of VDN or VPN that we've needed to go with. And again, nobody paid me to talk. Like, Google's not paying me. So the team has been absolutely unbelievable. If we've had any type of integration questions, if you know, we have a computer that did not work, I mean, Profil and his team literally got on a phone with us within minutes. And that is continuing to this day. So it's not like you're starting and you're getting left out there too. They've been really good. Very small hiccups. This is more embarrassing for me and my company. But we had about a year ago, we had a bad order of computers where it did not have Wi-Fi, right? Which I lost my mind when that order went through. But I had all these computers. So we needed those little stupid Wi-Fi dongles, right, to go in there for the ones that were not plugged in. And so we worked through some of how that is, because I'm sure Google or Chrome OS is like, why do you guys even have this? So that's little, again, finding Windows alternatives. You know, your agents love their little world. And like the notepad that is on, they lost their mind when they lost their notepad, right? So there's plenty of alternatives that were just perfect for them. So now they're happy. But again, just thinking that stuff through, right? The little things that, what do your agents use, and making sure that you find the alternative with the 10,000 different apps that Chrome has. And again, the VDI and the VPN build out, some of our clients had some weird things from that access in Profitless Team. All of that has been, I guess, integrated with. And they've worked really hard to kind of do that. But if that's the only hiccups we've had so far, that's pretty darn good. Okay. Now I want to get to kind of what I think most excited about is, and hopefully I can add the most amount of value to you guys, is how we've kind of changed our model, right? We don't call ourselves a contact center. We don't call ourselves a call center anymore, right? We have to be a CX technology partner, right? That does call center work. And I think if you can fix that into your head and we're not contact centers anymore, things don't get as scary, right? Because things can be scary when you're like, 25% of my business is going away. How do I fill this in? What do I do? And when you kind of rethink things a little bit, I think it helps to kind of ease that. So the old standard for me to purchase or greenlight new technology was it had to add value to our customer and had to have massive ROI for Expedia, right? If I can meet those two things, like I'm not going to buy something that is just ROI for me. It adds no value to my customer and vice versa, right? If it's going to, at least before. And I would look at that in a siloed fashion for every single piece of software that we buy. Now the thought process that we talked about has changed. Love these big spaces that I put in there. But now we're looking at technology as a whole, right? So we understand that certain technologies may not have a full ROI today, and they may never have an ROI. Agent Assist, I struggle with. I really struggle with it to find out how that really matters to me as a BPO and is making me more money. But it's an advantage for getting new business. And to be honest, it's the cost of doing business when the RFPs that I am seeing that are coming out now. So if we can look at technology as a whole, because some technologies are going to make us a lot of money, some technologies are not. But instead of just saying this technology stinks because it doesn't make me any money, right? Can we make that a net zero? Can we make it maybe a plus a little bit? I guess it'd be this way, right? And that's kind of how we're looking at things now. So I am planning on a 20 to 30% agent reduction, right? That's baked into everything that I think about. And again, I think if you think that through, you can plan ahead or start to look at some other technologies that you have to fill in that gap from a revenue standpoint. So the first thing, and again, I said this is going to be rapid fire. So analytics is the number one ROI for my organization, 10x. It is, we silo it. We use it in every single possible way. I think the main thing here is don't listen to what any vendor tells you a tool can be used for. That's the biggest mistake. So you have an analytic tool, and yes, it can give you keywords. It can give you sentiment. It can give you frustration. That's great. What else can it do? And when you think that through, and I'll talk about a couple use cases, you can add value to a customer, and you can add some ROI as well. So analytics, we're charging for. Virtual agents are here, right? From a generative AI standpoint, I'm not that scared about it, especially for new customers coming on. We're trying to talk that through. Again, the other good thing is I don't need an agent. They're never going to call off, right? There's a good part to that too. Especially for the newer type customers. Looking at reporting tools, right? Charging for reporting tools to a certain extent if you're going to go deep into this thing. And then again, I do charge for auto summaries and agent assist. And again, this is a small, teeny tiny BPO price. It's probably totally different than what you guys would do. But we have been able to sell that from the cost savings that a customer would get with the amount of headcount that, you know, we at least can say, or at least from a math standpoint, can lower. And again, as I talked about, Agent Assist is in the last three RFPs that we've found. with our Expedia digital platform. So this is the next step. We now have started a professional services on demand. We only, right now, we're only experts on the NICE platform. So I'm not doing Genesis, I'm not doing CXone, but there's enough NICE work out there that we've become a SIP partner. So we set up and implement partners that are moving onto the platform. And then any type of work from, you know, you want to implement workforce management, you want to do IVRs, you want to do integrations to Salesforce, Zoho, Zendesk, any of that, you know, we can now do for you. And that's been a separate entity that we're rate has been a really big revenue generator. And it's growing very quickly as we go through here. The managed AI aspect of this, right? To talk to customers about where they want to be. They don't know what the hell they're doing more, just as much as some of us don't. Right? In fact, they know less. So they want that partner to be out there, to be talking to them, to say, hey, listen, you know, we can take this piece of the business. We can make this into some type of AI model for you. We can turn this into a self-service. They don't know it. And I think we give maybe them too much credit, but they're looking for that type of partner to be out there. And again, customer journey mapping has been a nice piece of business as well that we've marketed. It's a small piece, but it's something that I think is a lot of fun. And then that can, you can kind of grow that into some other pieces of business. So here's my favorite technologies for ROI. See how we go here. So again, from the generative AI chatbots in the generative AI, that first touch point, we're utilizing partners right now, you know, the Omelias, the Amelias, the Poly AI. That's kind of what we've done. If we have an RFP, we have a plan for that. We have the partnership agreements already set up. So I think, you know, worst case scenario, I would do that, right? Just have those conversations from a BPO standpoint. So you have somewhere to go, right? We talked about it earlier. NICE is like the big brother behind me, right? I don't have to actually have the technology on my business unit, but I have the technology. I mean, I can just go get it, right? So I think that's the other piece too. That's really cool about having a big partner behind you. So I have a full podcast, whole deal on analytics of how we splice it and how you can revenue generate on it. One of the biggest ways is we have found that we can use analytics when we have a customer that says, hey, Tom, I know for an 80-30 SLA, you need 56 agents, but my budget only will allow for less than that, but I don't know how much. What do we do? So we can go into analytics. And we say, okay, let's flip this on. It'll cost you one fee of $5,000. We'll turn it on. We'll look for the next 3 months. And we'll be able to see at what wait times of agents, and we'll test this out, does sentiment turn negative? So then we can say, hey, forget an 80-30. You don't need that. Your customer base starts to turn negative at 3 minutes and 2 seconds. So really, you don't need that 55 agents, you know, or that 2,040 agents. We can lower that now because your customer base, we know, we benchmarked it to be able to wait 3 minutes, which is only 35 agents. So one real cool way to use analytics. We also pay, we incent, and this is kind of just a side thing, but pay, incent, promote, and we let our customers see this off of analytics. So this is a way to earn business, to prove to customers that you're speaking to their customers in the right way, that their word choice is proper, that they're doing the things that they need to do. And I can prove to my clients and my customers that we're handling their customers the right way, right? So not looking at the overall sentiment, but breaking it down by the actual agent. And I think that's a huge piece from a selling standpoint when we go into a deal, right? To give a little bit more comfort, especially if somebody has not outsourced before. And again, they get full access to this. This is interaction analytics from CXone. Whoa. So this one went a little rogue. So the other thing that we say is, and again, for if you're bigger, you're probably doing this already, is integrate and charge. So we want to integrate as much as we possibly can into any data source, into any CRM. Whether it's Salesforce, Zoho, Zendesk, a proprietary CRM. And once we do that, we say, hey, we have a couple things we can offer you, right? We have a basic routing, which is just your basic routing. You know, your most available agent, your auto attendant, we can do all that. But if we do our advanced routing, we can route off data, right? We can say, hey, this customer just called in yesterday. Let's move her to the front of the line. Hey, this is a high value customer. Let's move them. We can do a ton of things of moving deck chairs kind of around the Titanic. Oh, that's probably a bad analogy. But moving them around to make sure that their most valuable customers get the attention that they need. We can throw it to the exact agent, right? So if they talked to Susie yesterday, if they call back in today, we can make sure that it goes back to Susie as well. So if you can think that through, and a lot of this stuff we were just doing for customers, but if you can show the value of this, if you can show the case of it, there's ROI in there that you can squeeze out from a percentage standpoint. And again, whether this is just you say, hey, we're just going to do this as a one-time fee, or you're going to add on, I think it's a little bit difficult. We all know what number we customers are comfortable with. So we've been almost going to more of that one-time fee setup type thing or monthly fee overall instead of kind of by that agent or hiring that agent cost. That's the scariest thing for a customer, right? That agent cost keeps going up. They get nervous. If they're paying for a tool, they're not as nervous. That's at least what we have found. So this is what I talked about earlier, right? Every platform has it. CXone calls it workforce intelligence. I mean, I've said it like 400 times. They don't talk about it enough, but it's such an awesome tool. But everybody has it. Genesys has it. Five9 has it. They have some type of tool that's like this. And basically, you're guaranteeing service levels. So this is a value add. We call it our SLAI. That's the product that we have labeled this as when it's on our platform right now. But again, customer has sales, service, password reset, and packaging, right? We can guarantee a service level basically using this with business rules, and it's using AI to move agents in and out of skills without a human being doing it. So again, a tool that's on everybody's platform that maybe you use, maybe you don't, right? That now becomes a white, like the CXone guys are great. Like they label everything, right? And that's everybody, right? Everybody's labeling everything. And so I think we need to rethink how we market ourselves as well to use some of these tools to make sure that maybe we can squeak out an ROI. Bye, Troy. Sorry you guys didn't like it. Sorry. Maybe next time. Okay. And this is my new baby. And I think everyone can do this. It's taken us, and I am an open book here too, guys. So if anybody wants to have a conversation with this, we have done the last about 8 months of work of using ChatGPT to fully automate quality assurance scoring. I said QA, automate QA, but that's not true. It's the scoring of it. So we have a full platform that we offer our clients now that is outside of CXone, but we basically we can take the actual recording, put it into the system, get the transcript. If we don't have it, we can pull it for our CXone through analytics. But you know, to make this quick, get the transcript. We have the enterprise ChatGPT. We have done a ton of R&D on how to prompt properly when it comes to scoring of actual QA. So this is your customer's form that we're using. It's not some made up form. And again, all of you can do this. We've kind of done a lot of the work for you. And it will come back with the actual score calls. We found the best outputs are what are the best or the four things that the agent could improve upon. We ask it, why did it score it like it did? And there's like three or four variable prompts that we have. So we're now offering our customers 100% of all of their QA scored by ChatGPT. We have found it to be about 80% to 85% of the time. It has scored it better than our QA reps. There's a couple outliers of things that happen with the transcript that we're still kind of looking through. But this has been a huge value add. We've given it to all of our clients. We have two of them now paying for it. And it's something that has been really, so we're creating a SaaS product with this as well for trying to get it for under like 50 seat call centers that are using Excel spreadsheets. But again, you guys are way more technical. I guarantee everybody in here has more IT support than I do. You have more programmers than I do, maybe. I mean, we're very thin. and we've been able to figure this stuff out. So it's utilizing the technologies that you have now, squeezing them, thinking, being creative on how we can create some other products or tools with the stuff that we have now, and then using some of the technology that we have to create other products outside of our CCaaS world, because this has democratized things for everybody. And then creating another revenue stream, which is outside of Expedia, but is in our Expedia Digital and our Auto QA. So I don't care if I lose 30% of my agents, right? I mean, I care, but from a revenue standpoint, because I'm trying my best I can to use technology to backfill those, And then again, we do a technology. We've started this about 3 months ago, doing quarterly technology reviews with our clients, trying to get them on an AI pathway, trying to be the one. Because if I don't do it, and if you don't do it, they're going to find somebody else, another BPO that's going to do it. Or they're going to go in-house and they're going to do it themselves. So be the voice for them to be like, hey, I can help you. We can do this. And I think that will get you at least keep your business, because they're going to start looking and everybody thinks that this is easy to do. And it's just going to absolutely lower headcount. And then this is my last two slides. And I talked about this. So this is part of our Expedia Digital as well, as during COVID, sitting at home, figuring out I'm going to be a new crypto billionaire. That was my plan. When that didn't work, we looked at, you know, I was in Discord a lot and got in kind of the NFT space. And it was the wild, wild west. It was awful. Like, people are, and it's still really bad. You know, how people are stealing things. They're the type of language that's used. So I'm like, you know what? We do this basically, right? But this is on the digital aspect. So with CX1 and with their help, and with a lot of sweat from our guys, we created a full integration from CX1 into Discord. So we have listening bots that are housed. It's actually on Azure, not AWS. Listening bots. So if somebody says, go F yourself, or I hate you, or I need a moderator, or whatever we want to do or say, we prompt someone, one of our agents at Expedia, and they respond, and they can go back and forth. They can do it privately. But the cool thing about this is we have been able to use all of the tools of CX1. So from the main reporting aspects to full advanced analytics. So not only can we tell you what your sentiment, and this is the cool part, is if we do a chat, you say, hi, Tom. And I say, hey, what's going on? You say, hey, this stinks. Can I help you with this? And then we end it, right? Once that contact gets cleared, it ends. That's when it goes into analytics. But with like Slack or like Discord, it's just a constant flow of talking. There's no end to it. So we found some ways to end with a virtual agent after every single time somebody says something in one of our Discords. So all of that then instantly goes into analytics. So again, looking at sentiment scores on analytics, what your customers or the community is saying, some of these communities we have are 400,000 people. And looking at the individual community member, what they've said, who's positive, creating the customer card here that we can then build profiles, find out who the influencers are on Twitter. This person has 2 million Twitter followers. Let's give them a different experience when they come into Discord. Like, hey, man, welcome back. Thank you. You know, give them that kind of customer experience that we all do as a BPO, right, for our kind of high-level customers, but doing that on the digital side as well. So from, again, wrapping this up, taking all of the things that we have as tools, rethinking how we can rebrand them a little bit, how you can sell them for maybe not raising that per seat or that per agent hour cost, giving some type of monthly fees for some of the things that you can offer, looking at different ways to use the technology that you have now with your technology stack and your team, and then also looking at some other ways and other communities that we can do customer service with. You know, this has been kind of the way that we have seen, at least for us, how things can be a little bit different, but they don't have to be as scary as us just thinking we're going to lose agents and what do we do? I mean, we can all say that, but we all have to have a plan then to counteract that. And to be honest, if you think of not being a call center and being a technology partner for your customers, It can actually be a lot of fun, but you have to change the mindset, I think, of where we're going as a BPO industry and kind of where a lot of you guys are going as companies. So any questions? No? Sure.
So going back to the new QA with ChatGPT, you said you've done it for two different industries. Are they in the same, or sorry, two different customers, are they in the same industry?
No, so we have done it. One is a retail customer and one is a quasi-financial services customer. We use them to start because their QA forms were relatively basic. Not selling here anything, but autoqa.com. We just have a landing page. So I'm giving away everything on that. So like we just did a full webinar on how we're prompting everything. Cause it took a lot to figure that out and it's still not there perfect, but I think it's pretty close to where we can do a product for the smaller kind of guys as well. So.
So between the two, did you see a higher success rate for one industry versus the other? Just was
we really didn't, it didn't really matter. I think the biggest thing is the transcript, right? Number one, right? If your transcript is garbage, it's going to be bad. I mean, that's pretty obvious. How you prompt different things. So we found there's different prompts. Like if you just say, did the agent say this? Yes, 5 points is different than on a scale of 1 to 10, did the agent do this? Right. And so figuring that out, because I'm like, if we do this, nobody wants to change. You guys have been using your QA forms or your clients have for the last 15 years. You're not going to go to them and be like, hey, we're changing your form. Like, you know what? They're not going to let you do that. Right. So that was kind of the biggest deal of the prompting, but we didn't really find a big change in the customer types. Good. What's that? Oh, in Bard. Bard is great as well. Google Bard is amazing. Sorry. Yeah.